haven't landed on today.
Now life.
Now I'm behind again. All right. So welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can also stream the show live at www.guardiantalkradio.com. Just go to that website address, and then there's a little button that says live streaming, and you click on that, and you can hear whatever show is on the air. You can also download the TuneIn app if you have a smartphone and have Guardian Radio all day on your phone, or if you miss it live, you can go to our website, www.nagb.org.bs, go to the education part on the menu and go down to Blank Canvas, and you can see all the photographs from the recent shows and listen to the show. So if you just got half the show and you wanted to hear the beginning, or you've just got to where you're going and you have to get out of the car now and you're like, darn, I really want to stay in my car and keep listening, then you can go to the website tomorrow and you can listen to the show at your leisure. So I have three artists, or two artists and one sort of semi-artist.
Recent convert, I think.
Recent convert in the studio tonight. Who all have work on show at Hillside House, which is the second location for the National Exhibition this year. And all the works deal with sort of different aspects of womanhood. So I'm going to just like throw the question out there to all of you. You know, was it extremely conscious that, you know, you chose those subjects? I mean, you did speak to that, Cynthia, about the referendum. Mm-hmm. Was it something you just felt like really impelled to make work about?
I think it's in every woman who exists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is oppression in all sorts of forms. So mine just came out during an appropriate time, I think, mm-hmm. along with all of ours. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah. I like to ruffle feathers about this stuff. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
You know? And actually, you have a series of works which you didn't speak about before the next segment, because mm-hmm. in fact, they were only installed last week. Mm-hmm. And there are a series of outdoor works, so a series of paintings that are entitled Know Thy Place.
Yes.
So can you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is my first time doing a sort of public art installation, which is a big deal. And it's my first return to painting after a very long time. Because you kind of get really bogged down by the history of painting. It's really daunting when you first go off to art school, if you, you know, get to go off, and then it's like, oh, I need to know all of this history and played all of this. Holy crap. And it's kind of terrifying. But then you kind of realize, especially like being here, like we are very much in control of making our own art history. So like we can mm-hmm. play to those rules if we want to, but we can also kind of play outside it a bit, which I think is really quite lovely. But yeah, these three paintings, it's a triptych, and they're up in the windows in the building that's next to Hillside. Mm-hmm. And they're these gray figures that are, again, dressed in sort of the Rosie the Riveter garb. And there's like symbols like that look like contour lines behind them, because obviously it's like to do with like woman and place and things like that. And I liked the title as a sort of statement, because it's obviously like a thing that we get told a lot as women, right? To know where your place is and not to speak out of, you know, turn or out of place. So the fact that I kind of get to make a big statement by having them up there is a little bit tongue-in-cheek for me. So.
Well, and it's also quite interesting mm-hmm. because Antonius used those positions mm-hmm. himself mm-hmm. About 2 years ago now, in run-up to the gender mm-hmm. equality referendum. Mm-hmm. And he did a series about violence against women mm-hmm. and respecting womanhood. Mm-hmm. He did a series of drawings
yep.
That were also installed in those particular spaces. Yep. So there's kind of, it's almost like this claiming of a space downtown.
They're rolling windows.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah, and obviously, Alicia, this is something you're, you could maybe talk to the audience a little about the work you do outside of being an artist. So as in life in leggings and things like that. So it's obviously something that you're really working toward all the time, not just in your art practice, but these issues of how women are treated on a daily basis. So do you want to speak a little bit to that and why it was important for you to like bring that into the art context?
Sure. So I'm a full-time activist. That's my day gig. That doesn't really pay, but whatever. So I have a lot of conversations about womanhood, about gender, about the way that we see and treat gender in the country. And I did a lot of work actually around the referendum. Mm-hmm. And running a public education campaign was quite challenging and required a lot of shifting to make sure that the language was appropriate, that the material that we produced was accessible mm-hmm. to everyone. Mm-hmm. So not only using words, but also using images. Mm-hmm. So we partnered with an artist, actually, Carla Campbell, mm-hmm. did some line drawings mm-hmm. using hands and like the ring finger mm-hmm. to show the passage of citizenship mm-hmm. so that people who might not be able to read would be able to understand from just the image what each of these four bills meant.
Which I think is a really important thing, because people forget a lot of the time that everyone thinks art is so hoity-toity and it's so like just for like super educated people, that really back in the medieval times, altarpieces were for people that didn't read as well. Right? It was all about teaching the Bible. I mean, that's really like how it all started, right? Was religious work that told people like
the stories
and the rules and what have you, and using images to really communicate to a public that might not be able to sit down and like read a big fat book. So I think it's really interesting that you acknowledge that and kind of come back around to it, because I think a lot of the issues, I think between Brexit and the referendum and frankly the election in the United States was about communication and was about the inability to speak to different groups of people and sounding a little bit too up on your high horse.
Right. And being able to engage people who don't necessarily agree with you without discrediting them.
Right.
Because there are some people who are fundamentally against equality or against people being able to get citizenship if they weren't born here. And they have reasons for that. And we may not agree, but that doesn't mean that they're stupid.
Right, exactly.
It could mean a lot of different things.
But
to denounce someone's ideas by attacking their person just doesn't work. It's not productive at all. That was a big part of the problem, I think, with the referendum. We saw it in the outcome. So if you're going to call me stupid from my point of view, then I'm just going to dig my heels in and definitely vote this way to show you.
Well, and I think that happened in Brexit too. I think there was a lot of like, oh, you old people don't know what's good for you. And it's like, come on, man. Let's have a little bit more respect, you know? So I think that was a problem. So do you think art is a good way? Because I mean, like, that's, of course, what drives me is I feel like, you know, at the National Art Gallery, you can talk about things, bring up really uncomfortable topics in a way that isn't uncomfortable. And so often I give tours of the gallery and visitors, whether they're schools or whether they're tourists, will be like, I had no idea how complicated your history was. And it's not, you know, and again, it's not that they come out like depressed, but it's just like, wow, that was really educational.
It's enriched.
And that you
really
can do that.
It's a powerful tool having conversations and for not just educating or teaching, but for learning and for being a springboard for conversation, really, because that's really what we need more of, is to have these open conversations where people feel comfortable to share different points of view. And there's also an art to creating a safe space.
Well, I think that's what's interesting about Cynthia's piece. I like the idea that, you know, you're allowing the visitor to actually interpret your piece in different ways. You're actually not being didactic and saying, this is how you must see it, and you must use the scissors and cut her to free, but you're actually saying, well, you know, I'm allowing you to see this as someone who's actually rooted and seeing this as something positive. And I thought that was a very interesting part of your work, actually.
That also, of course, like how you were saying, you have to be respectful to people's ideas, although they might clash and differ from yours. Hopefully you'll find a truth and then you'll go towards that, everyone together, idealistically. But you just have to know, I first wanted to see where everyone stood. Like, okay, do people believe in such women's rights, or do they think, view it a different way from what I did view it? And from there, you'll be able to, after assessing the situation, be able to do something about it. I think that's important.
Well, I think, I feel like a lot of the, I think it got a bit railroaded, the referendum, and I think we ended up talking about things that it wasn't really about. And you know, I told people a lot, you know, I mean, I suppose to an outsider, I would look like, you know, a quote unquote independent woman. You know, I have a job and I go to work every day and I, you know, pay probably more than 50% toward the household income, but that doesn't mean that at home I don't cleave to my husband. So I didn't understand. I had a really hard time understanding that part of it was that, you know, if we let women do this, it's going to somehow disrupt the home life. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what homes you're talking about, but I know lots of women that are strong women that are, you know, fulfilled in their career, but are still very much a quote unquote traditional wife in many ways. I'm a traditional wife and mother in many ways, while also fulfilling another part of, and I found that I found that a real lack in the dialogue of being able to say that, like, women can do, well, you can do both. One doesn't negate the other.
I thought
that was a bit of a failure.
I think it's a shame that when people think, okay, a strong woman means a weak man,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How does, that equate? No, both should be strong. Yeah. And both should be strong together, but, you know.
Yeah, and support each other.
Yeah.
Yep. In their times of when they need that. So do you think your paintings, Natalie, do you think people will, are they that obvious that you think people will have those discussions from looking at them? I mean, it's a public piece. So obviously, you want there to be some conversation around that. Or do you think people will just be like, oh, they're nice, and keep going?
I think if they know what the symbol of Rosie is, they might recognize that. But I mean, there is, again, that just that symbol of, like, strong working woman. So hopefully something should get through in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I think in my work, I tend to do a lot more of the explaining through actual dialogue rather than through the work. Because I like the work to just open up that idea of talking, right? But the work itself, I kind of like that to be a little bit ambiguous, because that's kind of how I exist in the world a little bit anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But so I thought that was a really interesting point you made about how Rosie represented the sort of like the white working woman, right? Because again, that was the war was a time where white women were then allowed to leave the house, but how black women had historically always been workers. And I'm wondering now, discussing that, whether you think that had anything to do in the referendum, whether there wasn't this idea of like, well, haven't we always been running the show? Haven't we always been working? Haven't we always
just
been
on paper now?
You know, what do you think, Alicia? Do you think there was a certain amount of just like, what's, you know, from women now? Because again, clearly a lot of women voted no in the referendum.
I mean, I think a lot of women are comfortable with where they are at this point in time, and we find it very difficult to think outside of ourselves. So, you know, the average Bahamian woman probably feels like, I'll never be in a position where I'm going to give birth to a child who won't have access to Bahamian citizenship because I'm never going to leave this place.
Right.
So they're not thinking about people who go off to school because they have money to do that. Or,
or not, but again, or not, because that was an issue I had. Like, a lot of people said to me, oh, this is like a middle class problem. And it's your problem because, you know, but I'm like, I know a lot of people that I'm working with now at the National Art Gallery. I know a lot of young Bahamians who do not come from wealthy middle-class families. I know people that come out of, you know, Grantstown and Mason's Addition that are off in college now because they're getting grants. They're getting grants from Life for Key Foundation, or they're getting other kinds of grants because they're talented, because they're talented, amazing young people. And it's got nothing to do with your middle-classness or your access to money necessarily that you're going to meet a foreigner.
And also, a foreigner could be somebody regional.
A foreigner could be, foreigner could be, and of course you could always meet that foreigner here. I have friends that met foreigners as tourists that were here on a sporting event, or they were here for business, or what have you, and they met their wife here. So the woman actually didn't have to leave the Bahamas to meet that foreigner.
And also, like, think how many, like, Haitians and Trinis and Jamaicans are here, like,
Cubans, all sorts of things.
But that's part of the fair too, right? Is that people are going to come here with more than we have and get more than we get. From this place. So we have this sense of ownership of place, and this, I guess, too much of a respect for boundaries, really, and not wanting people to come in, not wanting people to enter this space, although we're quite comfortable to occupy other people's spaces in other countries. We don't want them here, and we don't want them to come here and be on the same level as us. So sure, you can come here and you can do certain things. You can have certain kinds of jobs. You can make a certain amount of money, but I don't want there to be space for you to be on my level.
Yeah, I think we need to change that. It needs to be more, okay, you come and you have a certain level, so we raise our level. It's very simple. If you're insecure about someone taking your space, just be better.
I have to say, if you look at China and Singapore, I mean, first of all, I mean, Singapore more than China, because China, of course, is a big billion, trillion, gillion people. But what the Chinese do really well, and I know this from my own business, because we were invited to go out there and they wanted to look at the art fair I organized, and we were invited to Shanghai, and we were invited to Beijing. And, you know, we just, all our people that we knew that lived in China said, listen, this is how it's going to work. They're going to buy the license from you. They're going to let you run it for 2 to 3 years. They're going to learn how to do it better than you. And then after that amount of time, you're not going to be allowed back in again. They'll just do it. They'll just do it for you. And I actually, I respect that. I'm like, invite the foreign, the quote unquote foreign trained person in.
And just be better.
Learn how to do it better. And then just don't renew their work permit. I mean, that's really clever, right? And Singapore has done that too, in a way. I mean, Singapore, we're in the same state. We at their same size country, 300, I think about 350,000 people, colonized, totally colonized, totally subjugated, and now look, and that's from just learning, right? It's from learning and doing it better. So I think that's they're both really interesting places to look at in terms of, you know, maybe how we could shift our way of thinking about allowing people in, mm-hmm. and we'll let them in. You know?
Not being governed by fear, but looking at opportunities and looking at the potential that exists. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I guess to close out, do you think art can change all that?
Well, I mean, that's the question that's been asked for a very long time, isn't it? I think if people don't speak up, right, then that's when we get into problems. Art is really good at speaking up and ruffling feathers and getting public attention for it. So I think, personally.
What about you, Alicia?
And like I said, I think it's an amazing tool. It's an amazing process to involve people in. And I think that we could really use it to broaden the conversation, to take it beyond this very kind of base level and create spaces for people to enter and to really engage with each other in a very authentic way, in a way without kind of pretenses and feeling like you have to think a certain way or speak a certain way.
I'd be interested to know where those spaces could be, because I think even just when you have the word like museum or art gallery it already creates, going back to your work, it's a label, right?
Alienates.
It's very alienating, and so you spend a lot of your time just working to deny that label. Before you can make it a place where people, I mean, I think we've done a lot. I think when I look at, you know, our talks and our openings, it's extremely diverse. It's a very interesting group of people. But nonetheless, I think there's still a lot of people that don't feel they're welcome to come in, or that. And actually, we did an event with the Judo Federation. We actually had like the end of the year, and it was so great because it brought in a whole group of people to the art gallery. We had an awesome evening. Do you remember? It was so much fun because it brought people in from all over the island who were there to support their kids, and it just brought them into
never been
to the art gallery and thought like, why would I go there? You know, I'm just a person from XYZ neighborhood, and we had an awesome evening. And actually, some of those people came back, and they were like, because they were curious, and then they went in and they were like, oh, that's what you do here. Oh, yeah, I'm going to come back. So what about you, Cynthia? Do you think art can change? Is it art going to change the world, or is sports going to change the world?
I think both.
There you go. Good answer.
Definitely. Like you were saying, it whatever field it may be, it can be closed. So people can feel uninvited and then won't be aware. So you have to, I think art is about doing. Obviously, you have to have a product at the end of the day. So with that in mind, you have to go and actively do something about the issues that we are talking about and what we create art for. It's fine and dandy to be like, oh, this is bad, but never do anything. Hopefully you inspire some others to do something if you can't do it yourself. So I think it's just all about going out there after and inviting people into your space.
Yeah. Well, that's a good place to end. So we invite you all to go and see the National Exhibition, which is on display both at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, which is that big yellow building up on the hill across the road from St. Francis. It is free on Sundays to all Bahamians and local residents. And I was told that some local residents who went that might not quote unquote looked like local residents felt like they couldn't go, but you can go okay, everyone can go, and everyone can just go and get in for free, all right, on Sunday. So don't think, oh, I can't go because I've got an accent, or I can't go because I look this way. So everyone just go and get in for free on Sunday. And Hillside House is always free, and Hillside House is where these three particular artists have their work on show, and that is open through this Sunday. So I really encourage you all go out to see that work right now, because it's going to come down earlier in the National Exhibition, which will come down in the middle of April. So go to Hillside House. It's on Cumberland Street. It's halfway down the hill on the east side of the road. It's got a lovely, beautiful yard full of plants and things, and it's a beautiful, restored old stone building, which Antonius Roberts took and really made an art piece out of in itself, kind of reclaiming this territory for Bahamians to use and enjoy. So we really encourage you to go in. Both of our venues are very welcoming and are open to the public, and that's what we want to see. We want to have people come in and look at the work and, you know, go away just thinking about it. So please do that. The National Art Gallery is up on the hill. It's open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, noon to 5. And as I said, on Sundays, it is free. So no reason not to go. It's a great place to go with kids. The show on the ground floor, which is drawn on the National Exhibition, on the collection rather, has a really beautiful overview of works from, you know, from the turn of the century to now, and tells you the history of the Bahamas. We have beautiful gardens that kids can just run around and go crazy. So I really encourage you to do that. Stay tuned to our website, www.nagb.org.bs, and look at what's upcoming in terms of our talks and our films. We have a film series ongoing through the year. year, we often have a lot of these artists to come and do talks at the gallery about their work or about different issues, so please stay tuned to that. And I want to thank all the three artists, Cynthia Rahming and Alicia Wallace and Natalie Willis, for coming in this evening. So thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you again. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.